Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. And we're joined once again on a Friday edition of The Scoop by Dan Slabaugh of On the Prowl. Dan, happy Friday. It's been a little bit sparse in terms of news out of the NBA, but still we're going to talk a little Western Conference here today and jam out on a Friday edition of the show.
Well, yeah, let's do it, Seth. It, like you said, there's just not much going on at all. We just mentioned off the air that the only things were going on is Andrew Wiggins is now a daddy, and Jimmy Butler continues to call people out on Instagram. So not too much going on. This is really, really the dead part of the NBA offseason. You know, if we start to talk some basketball, maybe that's some news and some relevancy worth covering. Or either we'll start churning it up. So I'm getting a little bit more excited as the days goes by. We got about a little under a month until training camp is underway, so it'll be here before we know it. So I'm excited, and I'm just ready to talk some basketball, Seth.
Yeah, it's We'll see kind of how things go, but I know, just like you, it's getting to the point where we're counting it down because, good Lord, I mean, there is nothing going on here throughout the NBA. So we'll jam about how the Western Conference is looking, and why don't we just start that? I'll throw to a piece that I did over at On the Prowl, just taking a look at where the Wolves stack up in the Western Conference and some power rankings as well. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, make sure to do so at ontheprowlmn.com. And Dan, that'll kind of be our focal point here for the segment today, is just looking at where the Wolves stack up amongst all of these top teams in the Western Conference. And I'll let you kind of lead, and then I'll follow with kind of where I think things are at. But just looking at the state of the Western Conference, where do you have the Wolves stacking up amongst all of these ridiculous rosters?
So I do actually believe that the Wolves are a top six team in the West when fully healthy. Jimmy Butler hasn't played more than 67 games in the season since I think he's only done it once in the last 5 years. So the health is definitely a concern there. And then, you know, it is while Andrew Wiggins can be frustrating, he has stayed very healthy throughout his career, and Carl Anthony Towns has not missed a game in his career. So as a team, the Wolves have been, you know, they've done a good job staying healthy and keeping their bodies fresh and in shape for the, you know, the brutal grind of a 82-game season. And so because of that, you know, when fully healthy, I can see them as a top-six team in the West. They still have a nice lethal 1-2 punch in Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns, with really nice and complementary surrounding core. They have a handful of quality role players surrounding the 1-2 punch of Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler, and so I think high end talent wins out in today's league, and the Wolves have two top 15 players on the roster, and you know, probably two or three more top 75 players in the roster. So I think the Wolves are actually heading into the season a little bit underrated. I think these other teams, you know, they had some nice sexy pickups in the offseason, but which makes them, you know, the dreamy new contenders. And you know, when a team kind of like the Wolves sits back and the biggest acquisitions of the offseasons are draft picks, Anthony Tolliver, and then bringing back Derrick Rose, you're not going to get too much press, and you're not going to get too much national attention. So those can be reasons that, that the Wolves aren't, they might be getting overlooked into the fringe playoff team section. But make no mistake about it, this team was a top four team in the West for the basically the entirety of the season last year with Jimmy healthy, and they should, you know, again, this should be right in the thick of things next season, in the most important Timberwolves season in the franchise history. Said that last season, and it's going to be the most important again this upcoming season. I think looking at the Wolves, they do have, you know, a lot of obviously competition in the West, which is going to be a bloodbath with Golden State at the top, Houston at number two, and then there's a plethora of teams that are kind of around that 3 to 10 range, and then, you know, kind of on the outside looking and teams that are going to try to be competitive are teams like Dallas and Phoenix, Memphis. Phoenix is probably still a couple of years away. Phoenix and Sacramento are probably going to be the two teams in the Western Conference that you can pencil in, not as a non-playoff team, but, you know, even teams like Memphis and Dallas, while I'm not going to pick them to make the playoffs, they should still be a competent team that you know, you can't. They're not going to just roll over on any given night. They have some veterans on those clubs and some high end young talent. So overall, the Western Conference is just stacked with either teams with a title window open, or, you know, teams that would be top three teams in the East, or just teams that actually probably have more favorable title windows, or, you know, futures considering. You know, obviously with the state of the Warriors right now, it's probably not a good time to be going all in like teams like the Trailblazers and the Timberwolves, and maybe perhaps the Denver Nuggets are, you know, they're those three teams in particular are really cap restricted. So I think it's going to be a bloodbath. So and with that being said, it's not just a crucial year for the Timberwolves, but it's a crucial year for Portland too. You know, I'd say if Portland gets knocked out of the first round or even the second round of the playoffs, then I think they will move on from one of CJ McCollum or Damian Lillard. And then, you know, obviously the Lakers will try to, you know, the Lakers will try to advance past the first round with LeBron James now leading the squad. And obviously San Antonio just got a new addition in DeMar DeRozan. And so there's teams in the Western Conference that rather than the Timberwolves that are faced with a big, you know, potential franchise altering season. So make no mistake about it, this is a big season for the Wolves, and you know, things are, you know, kind of frugal right now in Mayo Clinic Square, but you know, they, compared to some other teams in the West, some other competitive teams, situation is not so bad when you take a look at the rest of the Western Conference landscape. So yeah, it's going to be a crazy year, and I'm excited to see how it plays out. What are your takes on that, Seth?
Well, I want to start by referencing your Portland Trailblazers thought that they're going to move on from one of their big two guards. I love that thought because when I was putting together this piece with the rankings of the Western Conference, I really was surprised by Portland not making any sort of a big move. I mean, they brought in a couple of bench pieces and Seth Curry and Nick Stauskas, but other than that, they really stayed pretty quiet. They did re-sign Yusuf Nurkic, but other than that, it's pretty much the same group, and that, I think, poses a little bit of a problem for Portland, because you look at all these other teams in the Western Conference, and I would include the Timberwolves in this just because they didn't really need to make any sort of a big starting lineup tweak, but they have made a lot of moves to really help improve the bench. But you look at like the Lakers, the Thunder, look at the Pelicans, some of those other teams, and of course, can't forget the Warriors for getting DeMarcus Cousins. They've all made big moves to try to help shake things up a little bit. And I just worry with Portland that they by choosing to kind of stay quiet and weather the storm, I think that's going to lead to them again being maybe a one and done in the playoffs, and then at that point you look at probably it being time to make some changes. So I love that take. I'll look at how things are stacked up kind of like this. So you've got the Warriors, who are obviously the number one. They are far and away the best team in basketball. Their closest challenger is, of course, Houston. And then, like you said, 3 through 10 is pretty close. I would put Oklahoma City at the top end of that group, just because I think the moves they've made this offseason, they are going to be a really, really tough team to handle. And, of course, Utah as well are kind of two that I put near the top of the pack. The Wolves, I feel like, are right in the conversation with New Orleans, San Antonio, and then the Timberwolves. I have all three of those teams very, very close in the rankings. And then you look at some of the teams that I would say that the Timberwolves are as good as, if not better. The Lakers are going to be a huge question mark this year to see if everything gels together or if they kind of become combustible. I could see the Wolves being able to handle the Lakers. Portland, just for the fact that they really didn't do much. And then, of course, Denver, who the Wolves knocked out of the playoffs in the final game of the season last year. Then that other group, you know, like you said, Memphis, the Mavericks, and the Clippers, all hoping that if things go well and if one of the top teams in the Western Conference gets some major injuries, that they would be able to sneak in as an eight. But then you've got Phoenix and Sacramento, who are nowhere near being ready to compete for a playoff spot. So that's kind of how I see things playing out. Do you think there is a possibility of there being enough injuries or inconsistency for a team such as Memphis, Dallas, or the Clippers to be able to sneak into that eighth spot?
I do not. And that's because I think the top 8-9 teams in the West are that good, where while I think it's going to be a very competitive Western Conference, I think that still the top 9 or 10 are still going to be those top 9 or 10. I think that there are still tiers, and those top 8 and 8, you know, the top 9 teams in the Western Conference have some high-end talent, some premier stars on those teams, and guys that have been there and done that before, and those guys aren't going to be slipping out of the playoffs anytime soon, poor health, and injuries. So I think that the playoff look, that, you know, the top 8, top 10 will look pretty similar to last season, in the sense that you have your top 8. I think the Lakers will definitely be a playoff team next season. So I think you have to eliminate one of the teams that made the playoffs last season. And you look at teams 1 through 8, it's incredibly hard to decipher which one of those teams is, to predict which one of those teams is going to potentially fall out of the playoff picture, because those top 9 in the West are very, very quality contending teams. And then, like I said, you have those 8 teams that made the playoffs last year. You add the Lakers, so then there's 9. And so those 9 teams, I think, are the strongest playoff contenders. And then even who I'd put at number 10, the Clippers, they bolster roster full of quality veterans who know how to win, and those guys can take advantage of young teams, perhaps just as good as anybody, just because they do have so many just quality players. They don't have any stars, but they just have a lot of good basketball players. So take those 9 teams, take the Clippers at 10, who I think could win 38 to 40 games, and and you know, obviously then you get a dogfight, and which is what the Western Conference is going to be. And while that can be frustrating for a Timberwolves fan, it makes the regular season that much more fun, because every night is just, it seems almost like a marquee game and a big game in the Western Conference. And even more so, as we saw from the Timberwolves last year, you know, the T-Wolves did a really good job and versus Western Conference opponents last season, which is, you know, why they owned the tiebreakers over probably, I think it was about 6 of the 8 playoff teams. Unfortunately, they slipped down far enough where that didn't really become a factor, but knowing that it was a factor, gave Timberwolves fans hope that if they, you know, had the same record as, you know, let's say the Jazz and the Trailblazers, who were all tied for 6, 7, 8, the T-Wolves would get the 6th spot. So those tiebreakers are huge, which, you know, then it obviously makes each Western Conference game a big one. So yeah, that makes the regular season a lot of fun, and for a team that likely isn't going to win an NBA Finals, or to win an NBA title next season, you know, the regular season and then hopefully, you know, the playoffs for a few rounds is what's going to make the season entertaining. So it's going to be a really fun one. And I, you know, again, like I said, each night is going to be, it's going to be fun to watch basketball, considering the high end teams we're going to be watching play each other night in and night out.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I have a feeling, just like this past season, there will be a couple of teams who could even be as high as 10 games over 500 that will miss the playoffs, whereas in the East, the only teams that were above 500 were the ones that made the playoffs. So the East is a little bit behind the 8-ball, but they've still got some good teams over there. But it is going to be a wild season for the Western Conference, and very much looking forward to getting things rolling here. It feels like it's been forever since we've had any games, and we've still got some time here in the off season, but eventually we'll get to that point, and we'll finally be able to start breaking down some games. Until then, Dan, we thank you for joining the show to just talk about the state of the West here a little bit today, and we'll keep an ear out for anything noteworthy that may pop up related to the Timberwolves or the NBA. And if we do have anything like that, then we'll make sure to have you on to talk about it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Seth. I appreciate it.